Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
We're here to help you win the ultimate bragging rights, a fantasy title.
Let's go.
Now, here's Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
All right, getting closer to the NFL draft. So, we got to update you on the Podcast League contest. We're also going to talk about, you know, the hot draft rumor of the day. Fun with Twitter polls and the worst league that has ever been created, and I am so glad I'm not a part of it. Welcome to Fantasy Football Today on Tuesday, April 18th. Adam Azer here with Jamie Eisenberg. Hey, Jamie.
Why is it the worst league that was ever created?
It's just, there's almost nothing about it that I like.
Because it's a baseball league problem.
No, it's a football league. You're in it. You're doing the draft right now. It's terrible. And we have handsome Heath Cummings on the show. Hello, Heath.
I appreciate you calling me that, and I'm just glad to be back on the football podcast because I've been on the baseball podcast for the last month, and that host is such a jerk.
How great is baseball, right? Am I right, folks?
It's pretty,
you're not right.
Pretty great.
Okay.
No.
Wow, we have three people that could talk fantasy baseball now.
Yeah, Dave.
All right, I'm out.
See you later, buddy. Our draft rumor of the day involves the Tennessee Titans at number 5 overall. And our Twitter polls involve who you should take with the first pick in a PPR league, favorite wide receiver of 3 choices, and favorite quarterback of 3 choices.
Let's... I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Who replaces Starling Marte for the Pirates?
Oh, no. Nope, we're not doing this. So, NFL draft rumor of the day. Clemson wide receiver Mike Williams, 5th overall to Tennessee. Now, this is from Jason Lockenfora, who spoke with an executive from a team that with a top 10 pick, someone that he trusts, and got the executive's thoughts on who the top 10 picks will be. And he has Mike Williams, the first wide receiver off the board, going 5th overall to the Titans. This is a guy who, in the playoffs, had 6 catches for 96 yards in a big win over Ohio State. And we know Ohio State is a good secondary. And then 8 catches, 94 yards, and a touchdown in the national championship game against Alabama, which I guess didn't have a typical Alabama secondary, but whatever. 98 catches, 1,300 yards, 11 touchdowns. I know that we don't necessarily buy it, but we buy that the Titans might invest in a wide receiver. What do you think? What would the impact be? Let's start from Marcus Mariota. He was very good last year. He was the number 13 quarterback in 15 games. And if Mariota had scored just 15 more points, let's say he played week 17, he scored 15 fantasy points, he would have been the number 7 quarterback in fantasy last year. They get a wide receiver in the first round. What is your reaction, Dave Richard?
I don't think it changes a lot. If it's a receiver like Williams or Corey Davis, somebody who could come in and contribute and be 55 to 65 catches as a rookie, he'll certainly take a cut from Rishard Matthews, but he'll also deliver more than what Tajay did, what Andre Johnson did. They definitely need another receiver.
Oh, bad.
No question about
Why
that.
Why does it have to be a receiver, though? Because it could be O.J. Howard at 5.
It could be. And I think that would be the better direction for them to go in, although I don't know if he would come in and be 65 catches. I think O.J. Howard makes a ton of sense for the Titans because they can get away from Delanie Walker after this year, and they can make O.J. Howard their number one guy 2018 moving forward. And for this year, they could have Howard and Walker on the field all the time, 2 tight end formation for a team that loves to run the football. It will make it very difficult for opponents to scheme against the run and also play against the pass from play to play when they don't have any hints or tips on what the Titans are going to do when it's 2nd and 6 or even 1st and 10. They could be very sneaky if they get O.J. Howard. I would love to see them do that.
Just give Marcus Mariota another weapon in the passing game, please. I've been going back and forth with him versus Winston. And Winston already had the better weapons. I mean, he had Mike Evans. But when you look at the efficiency, you look at the per-game stuff, Mariota's been just as good, if not better, than Winston. I just want to see Winston with weapons.
Well, you see
Mariota with weapons.
You mean Mariota with weapons?
Yes. Yeah.
I think you could be better with weapons, but I still recognize that this is a team that wants to run the ball.
Oh, for sure.
Whereas Tampa Bay, I think, could get away from running the ball very quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Titans had the 4th most rushing attempts in the NFL, 25th in passing yards, 28th in passing attempts, but Mariota did have a really good year. If they do take Mike Williams, and I think there's some split opinions on Mike Williams, but let's say he's a really good receiver as a rookie, he comes in, I think he could have a better year than 55, 60 catches, and I don't know. It would excite
me. It's hard in that offense, though.
It's tough. you're hoping for something more. I think you could definitely see him or Corey Davis come in, and if they reach their potential early, just completely displace Rishard Matthews as the number one.
Well, and hold on a second. Tajay had 41 catches last year. A lot of that would go toward the rookie, whether it's Williams right. or Davis. Kendall Wright's gone from the slot. I know this rookie isn't necessarily going to go and play in the slot.
Ross could.
But that's 29 catches. Ross could. Harry Douglas, 15 catches. Andre Johnson had 9 for his few snaps as he actually played there. And like I said, Rishard Matthews would lose some. So I think finding 65 catches is going to be the easy part for a rookie in this offense. It's going to be finding a lot of yards after the catch and the touchdowns. And maybe that's Ross. Maybe that's what Ross can do.
I think Ross makes the most sense for them because, to me, Matthews is he's a capable number one in this offense. He's not a great number one, but he's a capable number one, as we saw last year. You know, when the targets were up for him, the numbers were there for him. This is not an offense that's going to have a Beckham, a Jones, and Antonio Brown. It would be great if they did. But because of how they run the ball, they don't need that. Mariota doesn't necessarily need that. Now, fantasy-wise, we would love it, but I don't think they need that to be successful. They need guys that will just make plays when available to them. But they need speed. They don't have speed
on
this team.
That's it.
And so I think if you – they don't need to draft Ross at 5. If to Dave's point, if they trade down, maybe that's something that they look at. But with the second first-round pick, that's an easy spot to take him, especially after Davis and Williams are off the board. They could target him at that spot, and I think that's a great situation. Maybe take the tight end and take their receiver.
That's what I was going
to
say.
I think they just need to address their defense a little bit more, though.
They need help on defense, but mind-blowing idea. They take Howard and Ross.
Oh, wow. Well, I don't know.
That's when you look at Mariota and say, okay, now he's got a lot of talent around him.
Behind what was, according to Pro Football Focus,
one of the best offensive line
in the NFL last year.
Yeah, all right. So that would be interesting. We're hoping to see them invest in offense with either the 5th pick or the 18th pick in the first round. The Podcast League contest. All right, you guys can help me out, and you tell me if anything sounds wrong here. I'm going to give the rules. We start with the entries whenever you want, but I can't accept any entries on draft day. So the deadline is going to be the day before the draft, which would be April 26th. The draft is on the 27th. All you have to do is pick the top 10 players. You don't have to tell me which team they're going to. Just give me 1 through 10 with the players. In fact, please don't include the teams. The fewer things I have to read, the better. 1 through 10 in order. Whoever gets the most right, not like the most in the top 10, but the most in their exact spot right, will get a spot in our podcast league. The tiebreaker, how many trades will be made on the day of the draft? How many... I always have trouble with this. You guys can help me out. We can figure this out. Should it be trades involving first round picks? Like, you know, I just have how many trades are made on the first day of the draft on that Thursday.
I think that means first round picks.
Okay. So yeah, how many trades are made that day? That's why I need the deadline to be the day before. The total amount of trades that are made on the day of the NFL draft. It does not include trades that happen before the draft, so keep that in mind. And email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Put, like, draft contest or podcast league or something in the subject line so I know what it is. fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. We had hundreds of entries last year, so good luck. It was fun, and I think the winner was, like, 7 or 8 out of 10, which was very, very impressive. All right, let's have some fun with Twitter polls. Here we go. We've talked a lot about how the top 3 running backs are kind of tough, and the top 3 wide receivers could be a little tough to rank. But my question was, in a PPR league, who is your first pick? Is it A, your favorite running back, or B, your favorite wide receiver? We had 1,783 votes for this. What do you guys think won, your favorite running back or favorite wide receiver in a PPR league?
I'm going to assume, because of the way last year went, that running back won.
Yep.
Percentage?
66%.
Okay. Anybody other guesses, or we're good? Okay.
We're good, Adam. 53. Why don't you just tell us?
53% of the votes were running back.
So I won, right?
Yeah, sure.
I was the closest?
Yeah, but you went over, so you all
lost.
Did
you hear me say 53%?
I said it in my head.
Mm-hmm. What would your answer be? Would you take, in a PPR league, your favorite running back or your favorite wide receiver?
I went in, because I've already done in the middle of my 8th draft for 2017, and I went into those thinking I was going to take a receiver in the PPR format, but the thing that changed my mind was at the 2-3 turn, there were a lot more receivers I wanted to take than running backs. So I think take your favorite running back, take two receivers at 2 and 3, and that's the best way to go.
Okay. Guys, agree, disagree?
I don't know if I necessarily agree with taking receiver in rounds 2 and rounds 3. It depends on who's there, because I'm certainly open to best player available according to my draft board when I'm on the clock. But yeah, if I've got the number one overall pick, I want the number one overall player. For me, that's Le'Veon in the PPR. I still think he's got potential to catch 70 passes. I still think he's in a great offense. And I know how thin that running back pool is compared to the wide receiver pool.
Okay, Le'Veon Bell was actually on pace for 100 catches last year. And David Johnson had about 80 catches last year. And those were the two best running backs in PPR. And those two, by the way, in specifically PPR, Johnson and Bell, they averaged about 4 to 5 more fantasy points per game than Ezekiel Elliott in PPR. Obviously not in standard. It was very, very close. All three running backs were within a point of each other in standard. In 2015, the top three wide receivers blew away the top three running backs. In 2014, they're about the same if you look at the average fantasy points of the top three running backs and the top three wide receivers. So we've seen it kind of in the last 3 years. We've seen a big wide receiver year and a bad running back year. We've seen the exact opposite, and we've seen a year in 2014 where they were just kind of even. So who knows? All right, the next Twitter poll. Half-point PPR league. Who is your favorite of these three wide receivers? Jarvis Landry, Kelvin Benjamin, Brandon Cooks. Half-point PPR, Jarvis Landry, Kelvin Benjamin, Brandon Cooks. Who is your favorite? 2,600 votes. What do you guys think? Who do you think won this poll?
I'll say Brandon Cooks won the poll because his name's been in the news the most.
I feel like it was really close. I'm going to say it was a tie between Brandon Cooks and Jarvis Landry.
I think Landry won.
I think Heath is cheating. You are wrong. Boy. But it was very close. Landry, 46%. Cooks, 44%. Kelvin Benjamin, a measly 10%. Nobody's feeling it.
Kind of surprised it's that high for Kelvin Benjamin.
Yeah. Who would you guys take? Half-point PPR, Landry, Kelvin, Cooks.
I take Landry in standard.
Half-point PPR, I definitely take Landry.
Yeah.
How do you take Landry in standard when he has never had more than 5 touchdown catches?
Because, well, he was fairly successful last year. He was fairly successful as a rookie.
He's always been successful. He's always been, you know, like 15th or so. I think he was 17th. Jarvis Landry was 17th in standard last year, 13th in PPR.
So he was better than Benjamin last year.
Well, he's much better than Benjamin last year. Benjamin, as a rookie,
I think he'll be better than Cooks this year.
As a rookie, Benjamin was 15th when he had 73 catches, 1,000 yards, and 9 touchdowns. 15th in both formats.
That kind of feels like his ceiling.
Okay.
Not that Landry hasn't hit his ceiling yet, but he's in a contract year. Hopefully that helps him. I mean, he's clearly Ryan Tannehill's receiver of choice.
Also, like, why can't he just get? He could get 7-8 touchdowns, right? Why not?
If he got 7, it'd be he may be a dominant fantasy receiver.
Yeah, he'd probably be top 10. All right,
Dolphins need to establish another receiver to make that happen, because when they get in the red zone,
well, that's why they signed Julius Thomas.
Well, maybe. But then they got to prove it. They got to get Julius Thomas involved in the red zone to make defenses say, okay, we got to cover him, and that means less coverage on Landry. Because the past few years, it's been Landry who's been the number one target that defenses have blanketed in the red zone.
Next Twitter poll, we good?
The only other thing I'll say on Cooks is that there's been two receivers since 2010 who've played on the outside in New England and have had over 100 targets. And neither one of them had 1,000 yards. One of them had more than 4 touchdowns. Both of them were named Brandon, though.
Ooh, how about
Brandon
that?
Lloyd, Brandon LaFell. And now they've got Brandon Cooks, who just won't do what he did. I don't think he'll do what he did in New Orleans.
Cooks, by the way, has never been a huge catch guy. Like, Cooks had 53 catches as a rookie, then 84, and then 78. So he's not a 90 catch guy yet. Landry has a 100 catch season, right? So,
yeah.
Yes.
That factors in.
I believe he's tied with Beckham, if I'm not mistaken, for the most catches over the last 3 years.
I'd buy that.
Wait, how could Antonio Brown not be number one there?
Or maybe it's the first 3 years of a career.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. Are we having fun? Yeah. Next Twitter poll. Who is your favorite of these three quarterbacks in a 6 point per passing touchdown league? 2,500 votes. Was it Derek Carr, Dak Prescott, or Russell Wilson?
This one made me so angry.
You're not allowed to guess.
I could see this poll being close to tied.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Just to follow up, Beckham and Landry tied. First 3 years of a career, most receptions over that span, 288.
Ooh. And they're best friends, too, so that's nice.
Yes.
G-E-A-U-X. Those
back
two
to your little poll, Adam.
Mm-hmm.
Carr, Prescott, Wilson. I think this one's going to be the closest of the three polls you took. And I would take Carr. I'm going to say Carr.
I'm going to say the only thing worse than Dave's guess on the split percentage is the actual results of the poll.
So you are cheating.
Well, I saw the poll yesterday.
Yeah,
and
this
I can't
I
imagine it changed that much overnight. But last time I saw it, Carr was at 69% of the vote.
I'm looking at the poll right now.
Yes.
But I'm thinking about what I thought before I voted on the poll. And I remember having a little bit of a hard time with this one.
I thought it would be hard. Yeah, it was an easy one. Derek Carr, runaway winner. It was 70%.
Runaway winner.
So weird.
Right. 70%.
Mm-hmm.
70% of the people think that he's better than Russell Wilson and Dak Prescott.
2,500.
That's crazy.
I don't know.
I like Carr better. I'm surprised by that result.
Yeah, I guess like to believe that, you have to believe that last year is the real Carr or he's better, and last year is the real Wilson or he's worse.
And no one's giving any credit to Dak in the year that he had.
Yeah, I wouldn't have. I think Dak and Carr are closer than Wilson is to the other two, personally.
I'd agree.
Like
Wilson best.
I've got Wilson in the top 6-7 range. I think Carr and Dak are both in that muddled group that could be anywhere from 9 to 14.
It did feel a little harsh, like people were forgetting how good Russell Wilson had been. His finishes at quarterback the last 3 years, I think, are 4th, 3rd, and last year it was 5th, 3rd, and 14th last year. But he's played almost the entire season hurt.
Right. Well, that's the thing is last year, the first 9 games of the year, he ran 31 times for 60 yards.
Well, his rushing numbers have been trending down. I mean, he's had, what, 3 of the last 4 years with only 1 rushing touchdown. So it's not like that's been the catalyst for his fantasy production.
But yardage-wise, he had 199 yards in the last 7 games. If he just does that pace next year,
the touchdowns aren't there.
Yeah.
Who do you think will throw the most touchdowns in this group? Derek Carr, Dak Prescott, Russell Wilson?
Wilson.
Carr. Should be Carr.
Yeah, you say Wilson.
Carr will have the most touchdowns and the most yards in this group.
So wait, is Dave the only one that has Carr ranked the highest of these three?
I think so.
I have Wilson ahead of Carr.
He's the only one here.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if he's the only one. I looked at the industry consensus just to see if I was crazy when I saw those results. And I think on Fantasy Pros, Wilson was 6th and Carr was 12th.
Wow.
So I don't know who's voting in your polls, Adam. Did you put the Raiders hashtag in that poll?
Well, you have Carr 12th, Heath, and Dave and Jamie
have
two
top cities
7.
Now.
Yeah,
oh, they got the Vegas and the
yes,
Los
there's
Angeles.
Two markets the voting vote, for Derek
yeah.
Carr now.
Ah, okay, we figured it out. I mean, I still think Carr has not fully blossomed. I still think there's more there for him.
One other thing about Carr, when we see the schedule, he has games in Buffalo, Philadelphia, Washington, Denver, and Kansas City next year. He may have a bunch of cold games. He may be awful.
Oh, that's right. Bad and cold weather. And actually, he has not
plus
been good.
Plus, they have Marshawn Lynch.
Oakland is known as balmy.
No, but every time he's been in cold weather, he's been that bad.
Derek Carr.
That's like freezing cold weather.
Here is fantasy
is
points.
Stat, like,
all right.
20 degrees or 70 degrees?
These two, Heath. Unbelievable. Fantasy points against his division in 5 games as he missed week 17. Derek Carr scored 25 points. That was the only time he scored more than 12. 25 points against the Chargers earlier in the year. The other 4 games against the Chargers once, the Chiefs twice, and the Broncos once. He did not score more than 12 fantasy points. 6 point per passing touchdown league. Is that a strike against Derek Carr, or should I not care?
Of course it's a strike. That's 6 games he's got to play.
Yeah. Yeah, and he didn't even get the Broncos twice. He chickened out of that one with a broken leg.
You take out the 4 cold games and the 6 division games, he's going to be good like 4 times next year.
But he's still going to be good. He's still a good quarterback with good receivers and like potentially a great quarterback here. I mean,
the thing that I struggle with is there's so many good quarterbacks. There's probably 15 or 16 guys that you could rank in your top 12 pretty easily. I don't know how you put Carr. I don't know. You probably have him what? You just have Wilson lower than me, right? You don't have
Carr
that much.
I have Carr
higher.
And Wilson back to back.
Like 8 or 9?
No.
6-7.
6-7. Okay.
I think.
Yeah,
it's pretty high.
You do. All right. That was great. Hey, I'm excited to talk about a terrible dynasty league.
Why is it terrible?
All right, we'll get into that. I hate everything about it. So, more importantly, if you out there buy tickets to games or concerts or comedy shows or theater online and you're not using SeatGeek, you are making a big mistake. You're wasting money and you're wasting time, especially if you're not using our offer code FFT on the SeatGeek app. Again, the offer code is FFT, as in Fantasy Football Today. That'll get you $20 back after your first SeatGeek purchase. SeatGeek has created an amazing app and website that makes it easier than ever for fans to buy and sell tickets. And it's always the first place I go now to buy tickets. All right, here are the things as of the last few days, I've been looking for at SeatGeek for tickets. One, the Yankees. Two, Third Eye Blind. Three, Book of Mormon. How's that for variety? Can you even handle that? Anyway, wow. Pretty cool. SeatGeek will price compare for me, search all the sites, get me the best tickets, find me the best deals. And if you want a $20 rebate, download the SeatGeek app. Go to the settings tab and click add a promo code. The promo code is FFT. You'll get $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. Download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code FFT. Guys, if I were going to take you to one thing, a Yankees game, the Third Eye Blind concert at Jones Beach, or Book of Mormon, which would you like to go to?
You can pick whichever one you want. I'm just going to take my headset off. They all seem awful.
The Book of Mormon would be great.
I don't want to hear about Adam seeing the Book of Mormon.
Why?
I would rather just go buy a ticket and see the Book of Mormon.
I'm taking you with me though in this scenario.
So we have to hang out with you too?
Yeah.
I have to hear your take on seeing a musical,
which I've never done in my life. I've never been to a Broadway show.
Which makes you an even bigger dork.
Why?
Because at some point in your life, you're what, 40 years old? You should be able to see a musical by now.
So it's the Yankees,
Third Eye Blind,
or Third Eye Blind. So I know the Yankees suck, and I know Third Eye Blind sucks, so I would choose the Book of Mormon.
Okay. You probably made the right choice. News and notes. Andrew Luck said he hurt his shoulder in week 3 of 2015, elected to rehab it instead of have surgery, and then he re-injured the shoulder in week 2 last year against Denver. And he played through the injury before having surgery this offseason. I don't know if there's much more to talk about with Andrew Luck, but we know how banged up he was. I think what's interesting is he scored like 40 points in week 1. And then, you know, was mostly consistent, but not spectacular rest of the season. He scored 43 points against the Lions in week 1. Heath, I feel like you've never loved Andrew Luck. Do you think there is still room for Andrew Luck? Can he replicate his season, his number one quarterback season was that 2014. Can he replicate that kind of success?
I would guess over the next 3 or 4 years, he'll have one of those years.
That's not a very high.
But will this year be the year?
There's not that many quarterbacks that I think have that opportunity.
All right.
Like I'm not going to rank him number one this year, but he's one of the handful of quarterbacks that has the opportunity to finish that high.
All right. Good for Andrew Luck. Now, Seattle wide receiver Paul Richardson could get more snaps as an opportunity to get more snaps this season, according to ESPN. Jamie, does that do anything for you with Paul Richardson?
Nope.
Okay.
Not even a late-round flyer?
You get him.
He was so good in the playoffs.
For a big Russell Wilson fan over here, I'm surprised.
Russell Wilson's pretty good without Paul Richardson, so I think he'll be pretty good with him having increased snaps. So, yes, I'm thrilled for Russell Wilson to get Paul Richardson on the field more.
Have you ever looked at the players that were drafted after Paul Richardson in the 2014
it's so funny.
NFL draft? There were a lot of good receivers. There's Carlos Hyde in the same round. Allen Robinson was about 15 picks later. Jarvis Landry was 17 picks later. There's a couple more receivers that I'm not remembering as well that went. Just Dante Moncrief went about 30 picks after Richardson
did. Devontae Adams go way after?
Devontae Freeman went about 50 picks after Richardson did. Martavis Bryant about 60 picks after Richardson.
So you're saying this wasn't a good pick for the Seahawks?
That's why they took Lockett.
Saying he has good pedigree. That's not what I was saying.
I know that you weren't on the Rishard Matthews episode, but do you guys remember who the number one? He was a seventh round pick, Rishard Matthews. Do you remember who the number one wide receiver taken in that draft was?
Tavon Austin?
No, even less of a career.
Fifth overall. Was that the Donnie Avery draft?
Justin Blackman. Fifth overall in 2000.
Oh, I got to cue him for our dynasty league. Maybe he'll be something this year.
Blackman. Oh, man, what a great dynasty league. Brandon Albert, Jacksonville left tackle, did not show up for the start of Jacksonville's voluntary offseason conditioning program. He reportedly wants a new contract. Let's get that offensive line shored up. The Patriots – oh, Heath, how does it feel to be 0-1? The Patriots will most likely open with the Kansas City Chiefs at Gillette Stadium.
Maybe we'll avoid the heartbreak of a playoff loss this year.
Andre Johnson is retiring. 11th all-time in receptions, 11th all-time in receiving yards, 40th in touchdowns. Never had a double-digit touchdown season. Is Andre Johnson a Hall of Famer? I say first ballot.
Not a Hall of Famer.
Nope.
Wow. Yes.
I think you're letting the orange and gold sunglasses or orange and green sunglasses get in the way.
The map's been changed. T.O.'s not a Hall of Famer, so no receivers are Hall of Famers anymore.
I think he was one of the best receivers in NFL history. I think
was he as good as T.O.?
No.
And T.O.'s not in the Hall of Fame.
Let me ask you this, because it's another guy I just noticed from looking at stats from doing a story on him recently. Is Anquan Boldin a Hall of Famer?
No.
Because Bolden's going to finish with better stats than Johnson.
Yeah. It's not all about the stats. I mean, Johnson was...
Well, it is. That's what the Hall of Fame is about.
No, it's not. Johnson was a bona fide number one wide receiver that carried teams.
With all those wins that he got.
By far the best player.
Andre Johnson, yeah, a lot of wins.
By far the best offensive player on his team. He was...
Arian Foster was probably pretty good during his time.
He was, but they didn't have the same career. I mean, there were times when... Andre Johnson was the best wide receiver in football. Anquan Boldin never was.
Well, I would say if you're saying that era, Larry Fitzgerald is probably better than Andre Johnson.
Per season, there were probably, I would guess, three seasons where Andre Johnson was the best wide receiver in football.
He was up there. There's no question about it. But the fact that we're touting him and saying great things about him because he's 11th all-time.
The touchdowns are going to hold him out. And the lack of wins.
And the lack of just being, like, he was great on the field, but I just don't know if people will, like, general football fans will admire him post-career for what he did. I think Houston fans will. He's an all-time great Texan. Put him in the Texans Ring of Honor. Let him wear, you know, a red jacket or whatever.
He's a Hall of Famer. He would have.
He's in the Hall of Very Good. He's not in the Hall of Famer.
The bigger problem is, like, those numbers you're talking about. If he does, he won't get in his first year. You agree with that?
I mean, he should, but he won't.
Every year he doesn't get in, he's falling down those rankings because of the way the NFL's changed.
But we all know he never had a great quarterback. I mean, put that guy in a better offense, Andre Johnson would be a first ballot Hall of Famer.
He wasn't as good as Calvin Johnson.
No, he wasn't. But Calvin Johnson is arguably the second best wide receiver in NFL history.
He wasn't as good as Terrell Owens. Like, there's a lot of receivers that played during the time of Andre Johnson that were better than him.
Brandon Moss is going to get in.
And they're
obviously
all Hall of Famers. They're all Hall of Famers. They all should be, at least. Andre Johnson is in the same conversation. He's not Moss. He's not Owens. He's not Calvin. And he's not Jerry Rice.
Fitzgerald.
That's where I disagree. I think they're equals. Absolutely.
But Andre has no signature moments, though.
That's not his fault.
Remember great catch he had to help the Texans beat the Titans in Week 5?
That's not
his fault. He had a good fight with, what's his name?
Yeah, Corlin Finnegan.
Yeah, that's his moment.
Yeah, that was great, but that's not his fault. Also, he was so quiet, you know.
Yeah, he's not getting in.
I hope he does. Buffalo running back Mike Gillisley signed an offer sheet with the Patriots for 2 years and $6.4 million. Unlikely to be matched by Buffalo, according to a report. And the Patriots would give up a fifth-round pick if they get Mike Gillisley, who has averaged 5.7 yards per carry 2 years in a row. And in seven games last year with eight or more carries, Gillisley averaged 10.7 fantasy points per game in standard scoring leagues. That's very, very good. And I think he was probably right around a fantasy point per carry, which is also very good. This is kind of interesting. Boy, the Patriots, they need more running backs, don't they?
He's now the best one for fantasy.
Right, assuming that Buffalo doesn't match the offer, which right. I kind of think Buffalo wanted somebody to make an offer on Gillisley.
It's stupid.
Because why not put him at – so they have these different levels of tenders that right. they can give their restricted free agents. There's the original round tender, which means you just get a draft pick back whenever you drafted this player. There's a second round tender, which is for when you want a second round pick back in case this restricted free agent leaves the team, first round and so on. And they could have just ponied up a few more bucks to let him have the second round tender. And then he's staying. You've got him for this year. I think Buffalo, I think it's the long con for Doug Whaley. I don't think they wanted to pay Mike Gillisley past this year. And they were happy to get rid of him now for a fifth round pick. I don't think they thought that the Patriots would come after him. So that might sting in Buffalo.
Would you say that the Bills put the chicken tender on Gillislee?
Oh.
Heath Cummings, ladies
very
and gentlemen.
Very clever.
There you go. Well, okay, you're assuming LeGarrette Blount doesn't come back now, right?
They're giving $6.4 million to Gillislee over 2 years.
And they just paid Burkhead?
That, yeah.
And the, yeah.
I'm just clarifying.
Why would they bring Blount back? Because Gillislee is basically a younger, better version of Blount.
Yes.
And Burkhead could do some of the same things. And they're so versatile now with the other three guys besides Gillislee. I mean, we haven't really seen Gillislee as a receiver, but I'm sure he can catch the ball probably better at the same level as Blount. You know, Brandon Bolden still does what he does on as a special teams guy if he stays. So there'd be five guys on their roster. Blount has no role.
Okay, yeah, no, I'm just throwing it out there, just, you know, setting the stage. So now, if Blount was, let's say, a top 60 pick, is Gillislee now a top 60 pick?
I don't think he's that high, but I think he's not too far behind.
So here's what they have to replace. They have to replace 299 carries, just about 11 or under 1,200 yards rushing, and a league best 18 touchdowns.
That's what Blount did last
year.
That's
what Blount was a year ago.
He's
so,
going in the fifth or sixth round.
Huh?
He's going in the fifth or sixth round.
I don't know fifth or sixth, but he's in that range. You know, fifth round's probably too soon, but starting round six, especially if there's a run on running backs, it's going to be interesting to see how it all, you know, kind of shakes itself out. Now, the fun part about it is, if what if the Buffalo does match this in the next 5 days? We're in a dynasty draft. Dave's, I see, probably queuing up Mike Gillislee right now. You know, there are people that are going to be looking at him in this draft. And if Buffalo matches the offer, you waste the pick.
Okay, but that's pretty specific to the worst league ever. The question I get, like you say, they have to replace that. Maybe they just throw the ball more. I mean, bring in Brandon Cooks, lose LeGarrette Blount. Maybe Tom Brady throws more touchdown passes, and they don't get 18 rushing touchdowns. You know,
well, 12 of them came inside the five, so figure it's maybe 8 to 10 for Gillislee.
Yeah, it's interesting. Would you rather have Gillislee or? Oh, man. Eddie Lacy.
Lacy.
Still Lacy.
Gillislee.
Gillislee, wow. Would you rather have Gillislee or Marshawn Lynch if he's a Raider?
Marshawn.
I think I would take Marshawn, but I think it's very close.
But what I would probably do is let somebody else take Marshawn and wait for.
And then get Gillislee a few picks later?
Yep.
Okay. Gillislee or Bilal Powell?
Gillislee.
Yep.
All right. Interesting. We got it. We got another fantasy.
I don't want any part of the Jets.
Yeah.
I don't mind Powell in a PPR league because I think he'll get a ton of catches.
Yeah. Like from what I've seen so far, Powell's going in like the 9th or 10th round and Forte's going in the 11th or 12th. With that price, I don't mind either
one. What the hell?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
All right. Let's talk Dynasty League. So you guys are currently doing an untimed draft.
It is timed.
What's the time?
2 hours per pick.
All right. So it's...
depends on the clock.
Exactly.
Right, so now, one of our video hosts, Jorge Andres or Jorge Raindelay, is on the clock.
Well, it's not really fair to calculate his on a per pick basis because he's made a lot more picks than everybody else.
That's true.
And then they've had to be backed out. But so what? All right. Let's go over the rules here for the worst league ever. Go ahead, Heath. It's your league.
Well, first,
right?
Explain, why is it the worst league ever?
Okay. It's a first-year Dynasty League, right? You're starting it
up.
You're going to have to replace him.
Wait. Before you answer, Keith, you invited, or you and Nick Costas invited Adam in this league?
He was invited into this league.
And
yes.
He turned it down?
Correct.
Okay. So we already have that established.
I believe he said, I'm not quite on that level.
I didn't say that.
Can't invest to that level.
Oh, invest to that. I could do it. I just don't really want to. All right. You have 14 teams. I predict you will have to change out 5 or 6 of them next year, in terms of owners.
Okay.
I'll take the under. I'll say 3.
You have 22-man rosters.
We've been talking about that already. Like, if you've got people in the Dynasty League, then they should know what they're getting into, and they should be willing to play more than 1 year.
They should.
That's bogus.
I'm just guessing. You have 22-man rosters, which I hate. That means there will be very, very few free agents. How many players are starting?
Well, 22-man rosters, but it's IDP, so there will be plenty available on the waiver wire.
All right, I apologize. It's IDP, which is terrible. Okay.
It's not just IDP, it's deep IDP.
Yeah, that sucks.
Like 3 defensive linemen, 3 linebackers, 3 defensive backs, and a defensive
I thought it was 2-2-1.
It's 2-2-1.
Then why does it say 3-3 and
the
three?
Draft room shows the max you could have at that position starting, as opposed to it's two defensive linemen, two linebackers, two defensive backs, one flex.
So how many receivers do we start? Because there's three in there too.
One quarter. Also, I've done a bad job of commissioning this league already. One quarterback, two running backs, three wide receivers, one tight end, and two flexes. Uh-huh. It is 14 teams IDP Dynasty League and
half-point PPR.
Half-point PPR, 5 points per pass touchdown, super bonus, you get yards for return
yards. There it is. Ding, ding, ding. That is why.
You get points for return yards. Points but not a lot.
Not a lot. Like sucks.
Enough.
I don't think so.
Enough that Tyreek Hill was the third best player at his position last year.
Because he had 800 special teams yards.
Yes. Right. That should be rewarded. Why would we just ignore that part of the game, Adam?
What is it? It's 0.05 fantasy points per
kickoff
kick return.
And 0.1 for punt return.
Right.
See, look, I'm obviously being a little sarcastic here. Every fantasy league is enjoyable, even the ones I don't like. But I still enjoy them. You know, they're not my favorites. I don't really like 14 team leagues. I like 12 or 10, mostly 12. And I don't really like rewarding for return yards because I just, like, if you want to reward for return touchdowns, then fine. But return yards, it's like, it's just giving too many fantasy points. And honestly, like, any fantasy points is too many for something that just makes a guy too valuable. Like, Tyreek Hill should not be the third best player at his position. Like, not even close.
Tyreek Hill was really valuable in the NFL last year, though, because of what he did in the return game.
I mean, I get that, but a lot of guys could do it. Only one person is allowed to do it at a time. It's just
the guy that's really good at it.
No,
I think there's a lot of guys that could probably run the ball as a running back too, but they only let one of them do it at a time.
I don't know, man. I don't like giving points for return yards. I think it's
but there are a lot of leagues that do it, and we don't really talk about it very much.
Yeah, no, it's fine, and we should talk about it. I mean, we should cater to as many leagues as we can, and it's great that you're doing it. Personally, I don't like it. Like, and you know, it's not the worst league ever. I'm just trying to have fun here, but not for me. Yeah. So I appreciated the invite. That was good.
Yeah, I appreciate you declining it.
all right, so what kind of trends are you seeing in this Dynasty League? And we actually did briefly talk about round one on the air last week, but round one was Beckham, and it's half-point PPR, three receivers. Beckham, Zeke, Julio, David Johnson, Mike Evans, Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown, A.J. Green, Aaron Rodgers, Amari Cooper, Allen Robinson, T.Y. Hilton, Dez Bryant, and Rob Gronkowski. That was the first 14. What kind of trends are you seeing with this? You know, it's always a mix of best player versus young player. It's interesting in dynasty leagues.
I think, and Dave being one of them, there are two owners in this league that are a little more slanted toward this year than long term.
True.
Like, Dave has a very strong team that could win this year. If this league is still in place 2 years from now, I don't know how successful Dave's team will be without a significant rebuild. The other owner is the one who took Aaron Rodgers in round one, and he's got a team where, you know, it's interesting. We've talked about this off the air, but he also took Julian Edelman in round two, and that seemed like a strange pick for a dynasty league, but in the return yardage factor, Edelman's value in this league is better than it is in a regular PPR league as well.
Right, then he got LeSean McCoy in the third round. Like, his team has shaped up to be one that could be competitive this year.
It could be very competitive this year, but long term, because he's got Rodgers is fine. I don't think we expect Rodgers going anywhere anytime soon. But he's got McCoy and Lacy as his running backs, Edelman, Marshall, and Fitzgerald as his receivers, Jordan Reed at tight end, and right now James White is his flex. So that's a team that could compete now, but even next year could be in significant trouble.
And Dave has Le'Veon Bell and Jordy Nelson as his first two picks. And who else you got, Dave? Carlos Hyde?
Carlos Hyde was my third pick. And then I took Tom Brady in round four. So I definitely have some age on my team when you look at Jordy and Brady.
And
but Brady
Graham
says he's playing five more years. And who?
Jimmy Graham.
Jimmy Graham is also on my team. And I have a lot of young receivers that I like a lot, too. So I really wanted to start my draft picking best player available and forgetting about the fact that it was a dynasty league. But I want to really focus on the rest of my picks being, or at least maybe my next, we're in round 10. So say picks from round 7 through 15 focused on younger players.
Well, most of the good ones are gone, though. That's the problem.
What do you mean?
Most of the good young players are gone.
But there's a lot of sleepers I like. There might be one or two players in there that have been in the league a long time who I take just because I think they will have a good year this year. But there's a lot of, especially a receiver, a lot of young receivers who I like, who I think can start making an impact maybe as soon as this year, maybe as soon as next year, that I'm just going to put on my team now and wait and see.
Well, you're anticipating you're going to get these guys. I mean, everybody's targeting. Well, there's 13 other owners that are targeting.
One of them was Marquise Lee.
Right, but there are still 13 other owners that are targeting a lot of these players.
Sure, so I'm hoping that I get some of those names. Now, I'm kind of scared to share these names because you guys
well, you shouldn't.
In the league with me. But
I'll accept
that. Put it this way.
Real draft, you shouldn't do it. That's fine.
One of them is a guy that Jamie and I have talked about a lot on this podcast.
JJ knows.
Over the past several weeks.
You'll pick twice another before one, we pick again. So
another one is his teammate. And another one is a player on a team who I want to do the Azer strategy with.
Who was the first defensive player taken and when was he selected?
I believe the first defensive player taken was Khalil Mack and Bobby Wagner with back-to-back picks in rounds 8 and 9.
Seven.
By RG White.
No, round last pick of round 6, first pick of round 7. Yes. 14 team league.
And they went a little. I kind of thought we might see a defensive player earlier than that. But as soon as that happened, the floodgates kind of opened.
Well, it's an interesting league because there's obviously, I don't know how many people have played Dynasty Leagues before. I get the impression not very many in this league.
Yeah.
Keith, you have. Dave, you have. I have. Nick Costas has. And I think RJ White. That might be the extent of it. I don't know how many others have played Dynasty before. Has Chris played Dynasty League?
I'm sure Chris has played Dynasty.
Okay, so there you have
it. You can assume half the league.
We're getting a lot of questions from people in this league about, you know, what do I do here? What do I do there? You know, we're obviously doing this for fun. We're playing it out, but there are a lot of questions in regard to it. I think, Adam, you know, to kind of back up to what your original question was, like in terms of strategy, I know for me, for example, I know that I'm picking it. I have the second pick in the rookie draft. That set up how I made my first couple of selections. So knowing where, you know, with the fact that a lot of dynasty leagues are like this, startup dynasty leagues, you have a regular draft and then a rookie draft. So I knew that I could pass on, let's say, a guy I would have probably taken in the second round. There were two guys I was looking at in the second round. I took Dez Bryant at 13th overall, was Melvin Gordon and Jordan Howard, because I think those are two running backs for the next 4 or 5 years can be fairly successful. But Michael Thomas was also there. So knowing that, okay, I have kind of a running back in my back pocket with most likely Dalvin Cook, I can pass on running back and take Michael Thomas, who I was surprised to see fall there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I was not happy. I cussed at Jamie. I don't cuss at people in the office very often, and I cussed at Jamie when he did that.
And you got me back, though, when you took Hunter Henry, because I had it all set up where I thought if it got past you, I had Hunter Henry because the owner after me, Luke Rogers, had already taken Rob Gronkowski.
I've cussed at several people in the office, Heath, so you have some
catching up to do.
Oh, yeah,
you've cussed at me more times directly at me than I have the whole rest of the office combined.
Me too.
Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't cursed at you, Heath, have I?
Yes.
Oh. Right to your face?
Well, through a computer.
Okay, so Dez Bryant, Jamie, you took him 13th overall. How many good years? Like, do you think he has a lot more value in Dynasty than Jordy Nelson?
Yes. There's a 4-year age difference, I believe. I believe Dez is 27 and Jordy's 31. That wasn't really a tough choice for me. It was between Dez and Michael Thomas. Mm-hmm. Because Thomas clearly established himself as a playmaker last year. I kind of looked at the quarterbacks. Because Dak is going to, hopefully, at least stay at this level or progress, whereas Drew Brees may only have a couple of years left. So looking at it long term, I thought, okay, Dez is right now in his prime, you know, should have another 2 or 3 more years in his prime, and his quarterback's going to hopefully continue to progress, maybe not get to Brees' level, but, you know, if Brees starts to hit this decline in his late 30s, then Thomas could potentially struggle a little bit, especially if Sean Payton does leave the Saints. That would put a damper on, I think, where Thomas's ceiling could be.
So, given how unpredictable sports is, I mean, you know, we do our best to predict the future, but it's hard. Dynasty leagues are tricky in that regard. You know, you think you've got a guy that's going to be good for 3 or 4 years. You never really know. How far into the future are you looking with your early picks? Maybe it's not set in stone. You tell me. But can you even answer that question? How far in the future are you looking?
I had that right now with my last pick.
What was it?
I needed a tight end, and there are two guys I was looking at was Cameron Brate and Jack Doyle. If this was a seasonal draft, as of right now, I would take Cameron Brate. But you read the potential reports of where Tampa Bay could be looking in the draft, and it could be O.J. Howard or David Njoku. So they only signed Brait to they picked up his 1 year tender. He's only signed through 1 year, whereas Jack Doyle is with the Colts for 3 more years. And if he's the starter with the Colts for 3 years, based on what we've seen happen again last year, Dwayne Allen was out. Jack Doyle's numbers were very good in the games that he wasn't there. So I just looked at it from a long-term standpoint. Who's better? To me, Jack Doyle's better than Cameron Brait for the foreseeable future over the next couple of seasons.
I don't really think with running backs, wide receivers, or tight ends, you can look much past 3 years. And even that, 3 years from now is a lot of guesswork.
Right.
Quarterbacks, you can look a little bit more, maybe the 4 to 5 year range, but things can go wrong in a hurry.
Okay. You know, Adam, we had this question, I don't know, maybe twice over the last few weeks about Tom Brady or Jameis Winston in a dynasty league.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we both said we would take Brady. I don't know how you feel about that, Heath, but
I've got Jameis ahead of him.
Yeah, I was thrilled to get Jameis where I got him. I was surprised you passed on him.
Yeah, I haven't taken a quarterback yet. So.
Right. That was the one. Once it got past you, I mean, I know we picked back to back, but
right.
You were the one I was worried about. I don't remember what round I got Jameis. I think it was round 8, maybe?
8, yeah.
Yeah. To get Jameis in a 14-team league round 8, I was ecstatic about that. I was already planning my quarterback strategy, you know, without him. Again, thinking Heath was going to take him, and now I don't have to worry about that because I think I do have a guy for at least 4 or 5 years.
Dave, do you have a quarterback yet?
Brady, Tom.
Oh, right. I'm sorry. Round 4, right?
He was my pick in round 4, one spot ahead of Dak Prescott.
Do you think you could have got Brady another round later?
No.
I do.
Carr went 49th. Prescott went 50th.
Those guys are young, though.
I looked at the board. So the three quarterbacks I would have considered and would have been happy with were Brady, Breeze, Matt Ryan. And, you know, Brady and Breeze, they're on the same type of timeline. Who knows how much longer they'll play? Ryan a little bit longer, but he's coming off of an MVP year. I think Brady's going to have a fantastic year this year. I pulled the trigger figuring that I couldn't get him back. I figured someone else between late round 4 and early round 5 would grab him.
Breeze went with the last pick of the 5th round, and Ryan went with the 4th pick of the 6th round.
But with the first two picks of the 5th round, Russell Wilson and Cam Newton went off the board. So yep. Clearly there were fantasy owners who were looking at quarterbacks.
Yep.
They just weren't looking at the older guys.
Yep.
And it's that emphasis that people have in Dynasty League startups where they're looking into the future. And I'm willing to do that at certain points in the draft. And maybe if I'm debating LeSean McCoy versus Carlos Hyde, which is what I did in round 3, I gave the edge to Hyde because he's a lot younger than Shady McCoy. But I don't mind trying to win right now.
Oh, there's nothing wrong with
winning
it.
Winning the championship in the first year of a dynasty league,
right.
That's pretty cool.
But the problem, I think, becomes if you don't win, which is obviously, you know, you don't know.
Anything can happen. Yeah, sure.
Then it's year 2 plus of where's your team structured from, because you run the risk of being stuck in the middle to the end of the rookie draft.
Well, who says I'm done drafting quarterbacks?
I'm not saying just quarterbacks. I'm saying just you have an old receiver in Jordy. You have an older running back in Le'Veon, which doesn't mean nobody would
pass
on him.
Le'Veon isn't that old.
Still, it's a short window at that position. So, you know,
more years.
If you think Le'Veon's at elite level for 5 more years, I'll buy the Brooklyn Bridge.
Whoa! Look, I'm not saying I disagree with you, Jamie, but I think you could definitely do it. There are running backs that are good up until they're 30. You know, elite.
Sure,
up
but
until
not guys
30.
That have had 3 injuries 3 years in a row like he has.
That's why I would agree with you.
And the usage that he gets?
I think there's two competing theories when it comes to Dynasty, and one is the playoffs are a crapshoot. I want to try to be good enough to get into the playoffs every year.
Of course.
And it's more balanced approach. And then the other is, and it's very popular, is I want to be first or worst. And I don't necessarily disagree with either one. I think you need to probably pick one and try to not get stuck in the middle of those two. But
right. I mean, if you were to say who has the best team right now, I think it's Dave.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody could argue
and
that.
2 years from now, I might have the worst team. It's true.
Potentially. Yeah. Potentially. I mean, look, Le'Veon's lifespan as a running back.
Maybe not 5 years, but 3 to 4 for sure.
I'd say 3 is safe. And that's contingent on him staying in the system. Because if he leaves as a money grab to go someplace else,
sure,
after the franchise tag
say.
Is done.
Right.
He could be terrible. And the nice thing about it, I don't know what your quarterback strategy is, Heath. I'll tell you what mine was going to be, was Stafford, Rivers, or Eli, and Wentz or Garoppolo.
Right.
And take 2. That's how I was going to approach it.
Well, that's the way I keep looking at it. And every time it comes to me, I think, man, I should probably take a quarterback. And then I see Cousins, Roethlisberger, Rivers. Those guys are all still
right.
There. Like, well, all but 2 teams have a quarterback. one of those guys is still going to be there next time.
You do that. You run the risk, though, of somebody this league is people taking two. And I'm not – and I'm telling you this. I'm not ruling out taking two because while I do think Jameis could be great and he's been a top 12 quarterback the last 2 years, there is still some risk with him. So, you know, and Dave has told you himself, you know, he's gonna look at somebody else also. It's an interesting approach. Like, you made two picks, which you wouldn't have made in a seasonal league. Of Derrick Henry, which is a lot of people in the dynasty community love Derrick Henry.
Yep.
And why not? And then the Hunter Henry pick.
Yeah, I took Derrick Henry in the third pick of the fourth round over a lot of running backs that for 2017 I have ranked above him.
And I'll tell you what, Adam, this kind of goes back to the return yards. When we got to that point in the draft, I had no running backs and I was like, okay, I want to get somebody who I can rely on for at least this year. Now, the reports about maybe Christian McCaffrey to the Saints or Adrian Peterson to the Saints kind of makes me a little bit nervous about Mark Ingram, but that's the guy that I took. And then figuring who I was going to look at in the fourth round, initially I thought I'm going to take Derrick Henry because I didn't expect Luke Rogers after me to take him. But then I looked at the scoring system, and that's where I saw Tyreek Hill and how valuable he was. Now, do I expect him to be a top 3 or top 10 receiver next year? No. But could he be top 15 in this format? And he's still young. I mean, I know we talked about it. He's on my bust list for seasonal leagues, and those are two separate, you know, scenarios. But for this year in this format, or for Dynasty, and especially in this format, he could be a monster.
Yeah, Tyreek Hill. Sure.
Yeah. Now, so that's why I took him over Derrick Henry. And again, you could look at any Dynasty list taking out the return yardage numbers. There's no way I would have made this pick.
I'm surprised to see Paul Perkins 72nd overall and Kenneth Dixon 78th overall.
Yeah, I was pleased with the Perkins pick.
Yeah, sixth round in a 14-team league. I would have thought that year two running back, a couple of year two running backs who showed us some stuff in year one would have gone a little bit earlier.
I got Rob Kelly in the same range.
Yeah, you got Rob Kelly 68th overall.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, cool. Anything else? Final thoughts on the Dynasty League, and we'll read some emails.
No kickers in the Dynasty League.
Wow. Not even, what's his name on Tampa Bay? Aguayo.
You mean the guy's going to get cut?
Yeah, but he's so much potential, you know? Okay. Emails, fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Daniel from a small town in Utah.
Provo.
Ah. Dear Jin, Cassian, and K2.
I believe those are Star Wars characters.
Oh.
What is it?
I think it's from Rogue One.
Yeah, it is. It is. How about that? I have the following keeper conundrum. I can keep one player in a 12-team PPR league with heavier-than-average quarterback scoring. Quarterbacks always go off the board early. So who would you take, 12-team PPR, Melvin Gordon, 5th round, Tom Brady, 6th round, Jordan Howard, 12th round, Michael Thomas, 13th round?
It's standard or PPR?
PPR,
Thomas.
And it doesn't say how long we can keep the player for?
No, it doesn't.
So it might just be for this year. I'm with the guys. Thomas is the pick. Best value.
Over Jordan Howard, huh, in round 12?
That's a great pick. They're all really, really good values. I'm just taking the best value of the four.
Okay. Next email is from Adam's wallet, a.k.a. Mike from Sarnia, Ontario. Well, that's where my wallet went. Hey, Wayne, Gordy, and Sydney.
Soccer players.
That's right. Canadian soccer legends. 12-team PPR league with keepers. By the way, we know it's hockey. We're just kidding. I traded away David Johnson last year for first, second, and third round draft picks this year. Do I trade my first and third this year for Beckham? Beckham would be an 8th round keeper, then a 6th round keeper next year, then 14th, then 4th the next year, and second, 4 season keeper. So would you give up your first and third round picks for an 8th round Beckham?
Okay, so I'm a little confused.
Yeah, everyone is.
Because does this guy now have 2 first round, 2 second round, and 2 third round picks?
It's like a power play.
Right. So he basically cashed in David Johnson for 3 extra beans in the rookie draft, right?
Yeah.
Is that what I've been led to believe?
And now he's asking if he should pull his goalie, give up a first and third for Beckham.
And now there's an octopus on the ice. If the first round pick is toward the back of the first round, then I say do it. If the first round pick is within those first 3 or 4 picks in the rookie draft, I say do not do it.
Really?
I want one of those running backs.
Over
and
Beckham?
You probably need
over
the running
Beckham?
Back after trading away David Johnson.
But over Beckham, over an 8th round Beckham.
you're going to get Leonard Fournette for X amount of years.
Wait a second. This is not a dynasty league. This is a keeper league. This is a keeper league. Okay. I got confused because you said the rookie draft. There's no rookie draft here.
You're going to the penalty box.
Yeah. I thought you said the rookie draft. Maybe I heard that wrong.
Because that's what I was led to believe.
No, you're still on the dynasty.
No, you're wrong.
All right. So is he doing this or no?
I think everybody wants to get away from this email as fast as possible.
I would probably do it. This is Tom from Cape Cod, Massachusetts. Dear Alex, Jimmy, and Doug. We know them.
Alex, Jimmy, and Doug. Yeah. I mean, it could be a million different people.
Seahawks?
I don't know. I'm gonna look it up on
Google.
Who's
the Alex?
Collins?
That's true.
Jimmy Graham and Doug Baldwin.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, sure. Yeah. I was thinking quarterbacks that should be backups.
Okay, here we go. Here's the question. 3 wide receiver, 12-team standard scoring league. No flex. We can keep one player at each position. Most of the elite players are already gone. So Tom is keeping David Johnson in the 3rd round. Should he keep Jordy Nelson in the 2nd or Terrell Pryor in the 6th?
I would go Pryor. And couldn't Alex, Jimmy, and Doug be game show hosts?
Sure.
Who's
Doug? Alex Trebek. You've got Jim Perry, goes by Jimmy to his friends. And then you've got Doug.
Who's Doug?
Nobody knows who Doug is.
Everybody knows. Doug, the game show host.
Who's Hello. Jim Perry?
Are you not a fan of Card Sharks or Sale of the Century, Adam? So I know you were like 5 at the time.
All the good players
were
kept.
Amazing game shows.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm keeping Jordy in the 2nd. Take the bird in hand.
I think Pryor's going to be good. I think Pryor's going to be good.
I think Pryor's a better value. But if really all the good players were good, I would keep Jordy.
All the good players were kept, yeah. This is from Michael. Hey, Randall, Ron, and Donovan.
Eagles quarterbacks.
That one's easier.
No, I didn't get that one. Wow. Keeper league where you keep up to 5 guys from last year. Is trading Hopkins and Tyreek Hill enough to get Devontae Freeman?
Which return yards count?
Which side would you rather be on? Let's say no. Hopkins and Tyreek Hill or Devontae Freeman?
Probably Freeman, but it's not unfair.
Do you feel like we've seen the best of Hopkins?
Yes, but they're a quarterback away from him being very good again. Maybe not great.
I don't think he's going to have 11 touchdowns again.
I think we've maybe seen the best of Freeman too.
Could be.
We may have seen the best of Freeman.
Who right, played? And he's about to hit free agency.
No, they're going to sign him.
Well, that'd be great. I feel like I'd rather be on the Hopkins Hill side.
Interesting. Okay, well, it's a fair trade, though.
You're getting potentially 2 starters for 1.
If you want to do the trade, then we think it's fair. And this one is from Michael. He says, Dear Michael, Lincoln, and LJ.
Prison Break.
Oh, very good. Did you know that because he said in the PS the names are from Prison Break?
Yep.
Heath is a cheater today. Good,
yeah. All right, 10-team half-point PPR keeper league. 10 teams, half-point PPR. Keep 6 guys. My team is stacked. I'm trying to get some upgrades. So he has Bell, Howard, Antonio Brown, Julio Jones, Hopkins, and Reed. Woo, very good. Also, Crowell. I am trying to trade Crowell and one of my keepers for an elite player. Is Howard and Crowell enough for David Johnson?
Yes. Way too much.
I'd rather have Johnson.
I'd rather have Johnson.
Than Howard and Crowell?
Yes.
Because Crowell's his 3rd running back. He can't even start him.
He's got David Johnson for years and years.
Okay. I didn't catch the him being 3rd guy.
And is Hopkins and Crowell enough for OBJ?
Absolutely.
And is Hopkins and Crowell enough for Ezekiel Elliott?
Like, I don't...
No.
Hopkins and Crowell for Ezekiel Elliott? You said no? You'd rather have Hopkins and Crowell?
No, I'd rather have Zeke Elliott.
Yeah, I'd rather have Zeke too.
Yeah, it's not enough.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I would do any of those 3 trades.
You make these trades, but the one for Zeke, I think, is the best one of all.
But who's going to do that if you're the Zeke one?
Some dope. Who cares? That's what this guy, what's his name?
Mike. Prison Break. Oh, Michael.
He didn't even give a name?
Michael. It's Michael.
What's his name?
Shut up. I don't know where I don't know where he's from, Dave. You could tell.
We're
me
here that. To help Michael. From
he's on the run. He broke out of prison, trying to
from Chantilly, North Carolina, with his team. We don't care about the guy he's trading with.
I think last time I saw Michael.
I don't care. I don't care if
Panama.
He's trading with Tom Hanks.
I don't care if he's opening for Mel Zetz, Dave. And I think the most realistic trade is probably Howard and Crowell for David Johnson. That one I could see going through because it has Howard in there. You know,
I think it's Hopkins and Crowell for OBJ.
I wouldn't do
I
that.
Think Hopkins is closer to OBJ than Howard is to Johnson.
You might get some vetoes from other league owners if you trade Hopkins and Crowell for Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah. I just want to finish the show. I'm so disappointed in you guys as fantasy owners, as fantasy analysts who've been playing fantasy for years, for not recognizing the greatness of Andre Johnson. He is great.
You didn't ask us if he was a great player. You asked us if he was a first ballot Hall of Famer.
No, I asked you if he was a Hall of Famer. I said he's first ballot. You all said, no, he's not a Hall of Famer.
He's not. He's not. I wish he was, but he's not.
Okay, we'll revisit this conversation in 5 years.
No, we won't.
More likely to happen in 5 years, us revisit this conversation or this Dynasty League still in existence?
The Dynasty League.
I agree.
Okay, revised question. More likely to happen in 5 years, us revisit the Andre Johnson conversation or Dynasty League is still in existence and Dave is in it?
Oh, I'll be in it as long as I'm alive. As long as the league's alive?
Yep. They're both going to be alive.
I hope I'm alive in 5 years.
Okay, it's weird. Bye, everyone.
Bye.